The first reading is from Revelation 7, beginning at verse 2. I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read our Psalm 149 responsively. Hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing his praise in the congregation of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in his maker.
Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king.
Let them praise his name in the dance.
Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people
and adorns the poor with victory.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph.
Let them be joyful on their beds.
Let the praises of God be in their throat,
and a two-edged sword in their hand,
to wreak vengeance on the nations,
and punishment on the peoples,
to bind their kings in chains,
and their nobles with links of iron,
to inflict on them the judgment decreed.
This is glory for all his faithful people. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This world I walk alone, with no place to call my home. But there's one who holds my hand, the rugged road.
Amen. Please stand as we sing Alleluia. Gospel according to Matthew 5, 1 to 12.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Years ago, there was a Bible series called the Bethel Bible Series out of Madison, Wisconsin. And the studies guided the student with visuals and artwork. I wish I could have taken this course. But the theme of the course was blessed to be a blessing. And it stemmed from God's covenant with Abraham, that Abraham would be given land and that his offspring will be numerous as the stars of the sky, and there would be land, offspring, and that they would be a blessing to the nations, to all peoples. So Jesus wants to bless us this All Saints Day as we commemorate those who've gone before us in faith and those of us on this side of eternity who are called to be saints. We are blessed so that we can bless others with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus uses the word blessed or makarios in Greek. And some have used the word happy. Happy are those who mourn. But happy is derived from happenstance or chance or the luck of the draw. The blessedness that Jesus is talking about is an inner joy that is serene, that is untouchable or self-contained, that joy which is completely independent of chance and the changes of life. So this joy, this blessedness is far different from the happiness that the world strives for. Recently, Oprah was asked about happiness. And she said, you need to be the master of your own happiness. Well, the joy of the Lord is something he gives that goes far deeper than human striving for happiness. So in our text, Jesus, the new Moses, directs his disciple up a mountain to give them essentially their ordination speech. He gives them a new vision of a new humanity, of the seemingly impossible, but with God, we know all things are possible. He gives them a new vision that even the grubby people, the hated people, the one who has done us wrong, they're not excluded from the possibility of being touched by God's grace. This is the beginning of the greatest sermon of all time, the Sermon on the Mount. And here Jesus appears under the sign of the opposite. It is contrary to the world's experience of what makes us happy and successful and powerful. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift have dominated the sports headlines lately as models of what young people should strive for. Kelce, a strong dude who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs as a tight end. And Taylor Swift, a glamorous, popular singing icon who dazzles the audiences. And when Taylor attends Kelce's game, statistics show that the Kansas City Chiefs gain 10 more points per game. And so the camera is almost as much on Taylor as it is on Kelce. The media and the world is fascinated by such romances, and it makes for great headlines. But blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. One radio announcer said, the meek never inherit the earth, the strong and the powerful do. Meek is misunderstood as weakness here. The Greek word praus, P-R-A-U-S, means of gentle, inquisitive spirit. Dr. Joseph Sittler spoke about this at seminary. He said, it's like Weyerhaeuser, you know, the lumber company, looking at a forest in terms of board feet and how much money that will make them, compared to a young couple who's hiking through the forest, enjoying God's creation. He also compared this to someone who was a Rembrandt hog, wanting to collect all the Rembrandts for a fat investment. Compare that to a person who gazes at a Rembrandt painting, blessed by the message and the beauty it conveys. Quite a difference. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus appears under the sign of the opposite in these 12 verses. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, and for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice when you are persecuted. How are you doing so far? Feeling guilty? Does it sound like a try harder sermon? It's a message from the Beatitudes, after all. Be like this, and you are a true Christian. Do you hear these blessings as good news or demands? Now, this is why I've labored in dread over this text, and I've shared this with my pastor buddies and Bible study buddies, because there are so many ways that we can go wrong on this. It can easily become a law, and we feel guilty because there's no way we can measure up to God's standards and his demands. We can approach it in three ways. Like the Catholics, the councils of perfection, that these requirements can be met by the monastics, by the priests and the nuns. Or some Protestant groups see these requirements that can be attained by all sincere, and I say sincere, believers, but only if they put their full effort in the enterprise. Try harder. Or we just throw up our hands and say it's all unattainable, and we fall on our knees and see Jesus as the only one who fits this description. And maybe there's a part of us that says, yes, I can fit into a couple of those. We can check off a few of these requirements and feel pretty good about it. Poor in spirit, yeah, it's me, mourn. And maybe some of these blessings we'd rather do without, because those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I don't want to mourn. Just put on a happy face and push people away. I'd rather live in denial. But Jesus says, when you've lost the love of your life and face the abyss and the blackness feels like a bottomless pit, I will bless you. I am with you always. But remember, in all this, Jesus is the center, not me. Jesus shows us blessing those who are cursed and takes this cursedness upon himself. He did that on the cross, and he gives us reason to live in his presence in the new kingdom. The new kingdom, as he addresses his disciples, and he's addressing you and me today. These legitimate demands of the Beatitudes can be discouraging if seen at face value. The bar is set so high, only Jesus can fulfill them flawlessly. And that's why we're driven in faith to Jesus' grace and mercy. It reminded me of that confession in the old Lutheran hymnal, the red one that says, wherefore we flee for refuge to the infinite mercy. Our Father's arms are always open to his children who are repentant over sin and long for forgiveness. This is how we grow in grace, at the foot of the cross, where Jesus shed his blood and exchanged his sin for our righteousness. For his righteousness. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has a calling for you and me, and that is to be holy, which means set apart. I like what the King James Version says in 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a peculiar people. Now, I don't mean that we're a bunch of oddballs, no good to anybody. but different in the sense that we have something valuable to offer the world. As Peter continues, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our first instinct on this All Saints Day is to say, oh, I'm no saint. You've heard that before. I'm no saint. And we excuse ourselves by pointing out our sinfulness as if it's a merit badge. Yeah, I'm just a sinner. And I've run into that a lot in my chaplain visits at the VA hospital. When I ask, tell me about your faith background, some will say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. In other words, don't compare me to those goody-goody two-shoes Christians. And I would say, and if the conversation led this way, that it's not about religion, but a relationship with God. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us. He wants a relationship with us. And even Christians who should know better will look at sainthood reserved for the likes of St. Francis or St. Thomas Aquinas or the more recent St. Teresa of Avila and those who have gone before us in the purity of heaven. There was a lady approached theologian Dallas Willard after he had spoken on the Beatitudes and said her son had dropped his Christian identification, left the church because of the Beatitudes. And he was a strong, intelligent man who made his career in the military. He had been told that the Beatitudes, with its list of the poor and the sad and the weak and the mild, were a picture of the ideal Christian. He explained to his mother very simply, that's not me. I can never be like that. And so he dismissed the words of Jesus meant for someone else. So we can understand this misunderstanding of sainthood. But you and I are not called to be doormats to a false humility, but to own the fact that we are saints by virtue of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God who shed his blood for us on the cross. You and I are saints by virtue of being in the kingdom through faith in Christ's gift of salvation. Even though sin still plagues us, we're not ruled by sin. You and I are holy ones set apart for good works. This is our response to the one who loved us first, Jesus Christ. He makes us holy. So live a life that is set apart, being in the world but not of the world. And we should be joyful in that calling, the kind of blessedness Jesus is calling for. Commentator William Barclay says, in face of the Beatitudes, a gloom-encompassed Christianity is unthinkable. Let me read that again. In face of the Beatitudes, a gloom-encompassed Christianity is unthinkable. The joy of the Lord is our strength to carry us even through the most difficult times. I think of Lutheran pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who suffered 14 years of torture and suffering in a communist prison in Romania for his Christian faith. His courage and continuing faith powerfully witnessed and brought many to Christ. He said this in his book, Tortured for Christ, and I read, for me to preach the gospel to Russians is heaven on earth. I've preached the gospel to men of many nations, but I've never seen a people drink in the gospel so much like the Russians. They have such thirsty souls. I read to him the Sermon on the Mount and the parables of Jesus. After hearing them, he danced around the room in rapturous joy, proclaiming, what a wonderful beauty! How could I live without knowing this Christ? It was the first time that I saw someone so rapturously joyful in Christ. Then I made a mistake. I read to him the Passion and Crucifixion of Christ without having prepared him for this. He had not expected it, and when he heard how Christ was beaten, how he was crucified, and that in the end he died, he fell in an armchair and began to weep bitterly. He had believed in a Savior, now his Savior was dead. Looking at him, it was for me seeing again Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross, faithfully weeping when Jesus was a corpse in the tomb. Then I read to him the story of the resurrection. He had not known that his Savior rose from the tomb. And when he heard this wonderful news, he beat his knees and swore a very dirty, but I think a very holy swear. This was his crude manner of speech. And again he rejoiced. He shouted for joy. He is alive. He is alive. And again he danced around the room, overwhelmed with happiness. And I said to him, let us pray. And he did not know prayers. He did not know our holy phrases. He fell on his knees together with me, and his words of prayer were, oh God, what a fine chap you are. If I were you and you were me, I would never have forgiven you your sins, but you're a really nice chap. I love you with all my heart. I think that all the angels in heaven stopped what they were doing to listen to this sublime prayer from a Russian officer. The man had been won for Christ. This Russian officer, as crude and uneducated as he was, became a saint, wouldn't you say? He's a new creation in Christ, still a sinful man, but on the journey, in the kingdom where forgiveness is a free gift. This powerful example fills the bill for the beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This has nothing to do with physical poverty. It is about coming bankrupt before God, bankrupt of all pride and selfishness. This officer, acutely conscious of his own lostness and hopelessness apart from God's divine grace. And because of his humility before God, God filled him with his power and might and confidence. This is the gift God gives you and me. When we recognize our insufficiency outside of the grace of God. You see, we as believers are on a journey as saints, aren't we? We're in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And I need to read that lesson that Sharon read from 1 John 3 for emphasis. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that they did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And I emphasize now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We are in the process of being made holy, pure. In this life, because of sin, we see Jesus impurely. Paul says we see in a mirror dimly, but someday face to face. We call this growing in holiness sanctification. It is the Holy Spirit that causes this growth in grace, and we celebrate that by living holy lives, pleasing unto him. If you want to get a glimpse of what heaven is all about, and we've got all these pictures of what heaven might be, for me, all I need is to hear the words, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Isn't that amazing? What a promise, what a vision of heaven. In both the Gospel of John and his three letters, John uses the word abide. Abide in me, and I in you. And just before the lesson in John, 1 John 3, he says, now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence, not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. This is what the disciples were doing on that mount long ago, when Jesus sat down to teach them that this vision of the kingdom of God, they were abiding in him. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus? Wouldn't you like to sit at the feet of Jesus? Hearing the words of truth and love and what's most important in life and the blessing of abiding in him. That's what you and I are privileged to do. Every time we worship him and hear his word and celebrate Holy Communion, which we will later on, how powerful to know that we're not alone as Christians on earth. We're joined with those saints who've gone before us, and we thank God for their legacy of faith and what they taught us and how to live as holy ones. We are joined with the church triumphant as the church militant here on earth. Holy Communion is a foretaste of the feast to come. And we sing in triumph in the great thanksgiving. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy holy name. What a gathering of saints as we worship here today. What a joy to sit at the feet of Jesus as we worship, like the disciples that day. That's what we're doing right now. Blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Jesus chose to bless us, not by any inherent good on our part. He blesses whom he chooses to bless, whether the poor in spirit or the meek or those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. It's all grace, my friends. We're to pass this same blessing to others and deliver it to others in a way that sounds like goodness. You know the story of Mary and Martha. They knew what it meant to sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha and her busyness missed an opportunity that Mary had, the better part. Jesus invites each of us to sit at his feet and to hear him impart words of wisdom we need and equip us for the challenging world in which we live. On this All Saints Day, I share the words of a song we sang at a West Coast Mennonite men's choir that I sang, and here's a Lutheran infiltrating a Mennonite choir, but it was really powerful. 130 male voices, you can imagine the power in singing in a group like that. But one of the songs was Sitting at the Feet of Jesus by Gaither. Just listen to these words. May it be a blessing to you. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious. It has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortals be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort each day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me. Let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. He is all my righteousness. He is all my righteousness. Oh, Lord, make us holy as you are holy. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a song, For All the Saints, that great classic hymn, For All the Saints. You'll notice there's a number of verses. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 8.
For all the saints of whom we're a member.
Let's stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated for the prayers of the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, keep your church attentive and faithful that she may be ready for that day when your redemptive work is complete and all things will be made new in Christ. Bless those who are merciful, patient, long-suffering, and giving. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of peace, war and violence threaten to destroy the peace and well-being that you desire for your people. Strengthen and sustain us who seek to bring an end to violence and war, and those who live in war-torn areas. Open our eyes to the ways in which we participate in violent or oppressive situations. Open our mouths to speak words of peace, love, and justice when necessary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful One, look with compassion on your children who are still learning about your never-ending power, love, and mercy. Bring strength, peace, comfort and healing to those in need. Help us to understand and accept your eternal power and grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for all who lived and died believing in your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the memories we share of loved ones whose lives have touched our own. Memories that are precious gifts from your most gracious hand. We especially remember Tina Williams. Dick Stanley. Gloria Wiesbirch. Don Wanick. Give us grace to trust your word and your promise of eternal life together with those who have gone before us, encouraged by the witness of their lives of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with
Let's
you.
Share the peace with one another. Peace the Lord be with you. Peace the Lord, Deb. Larry, peace the Lord be with you. Peace the Lord be with you. God bless you. Good to have you. Lord Liz. He's Lord Jeff. Good to see you. He's the Lord.
Lord, brother. It's the Lord be with you.
You may be seated as we receive our offering today. Stand for the offertory response.
Vineyard, be fruitful, Lord, and fill to brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanks.